It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Five different walk-off calls for you of Fernando Tatis Jr. Yes, really. It was his first ever walk-off hit.
What's the list this year? Who are we missing? That we've had, what, it was eight, I think, before Fernando, right? Wasn't there eight different walk-offs this year?
Sounds about right.
Something like that.
Can anyone even do it on, like, in their top of their head?
Top of
Jackson, eight. Obviously.
Jackson, Higgy, Manny, Higgy.
Jake had one.
Jake, Arise.
Yeah. Arise, yeah, I was at that game.
Toddy.
Toddy, six. Who am I missing?
Did anyone double up?
Jackson had more than one?
He's had more than one. Profar had a walk-off.
Oh, yeah.
Seven.
Yeah. Kim? Did Kim have one?
Jackson has two. Solano?
I think if Jackson had two, then I think we got to eight.
Maybe that's seven or eight. They're saying Solano.
Solano.
Did he have a walk-off?
All right. I mean, what a season.
All right, we need to get Xander going. Get him one. He needs his moment. He needs a big moment.
Yeah.
He does.
If you're a baseball broadcaster, this is what you... This is what you live for, a chance to call a walk-off hit at the end of the game. Again, setting the stage, the Padres got through the top of the 10th with Jeremiah Estrada stranding the runner at third base, and then they had a chance with Jackson Merrill out at second base.
Solano had one against L.A.
Yeah.
Yep, and a rise, too.
Jackson Merrill out at second base. Is the bottom of the order coming up. Elias Diaz got his very I thought for a second, is Elias Diaz going to make his very first plate appearance with the San Diego Padres? A walk-off
would have been amazing.
He grounded out, didn't move the runner. And then the second at-bat was, who batted second? They moved the run. Did the runner get to third? McCoy.
Part? Yes.
Struck out.
He struck out. And then they walked Arise intentionally. To get to Fernando Tatis Jr.
For a second.
Okay.
We talked about it before the show.
Yeah.
What does that tell you about Luis Arise's value, that they will walk him and take their chances with Fernando Tatis Jr.?
Yeah.
He'll be returning from a long absence.
One game in.
It's still Fernando Tatis Jr. They thought, Arise is so good at hitting.
It's a calculated risk. It's righty-lefty. And you know, you...
It's not even a risk. It's probably the right call for a number of reasons.
Yes.
And first of all, it's the righty-lefty.
Yeah.
Second of all, Luis Arise hits for a higher average. You're not worried about a home run.
Right. No.
Home run is no worse than a single at that point. And here's one other point that I made when I was watching the game with my son. Luis Arise hits a lot of soft singles. At that point, a hard single actually might be less effective. Like if Tatis hits a 112, like one hopper to the left fielder, Jackson might not be able to score on that, and he might get thrown out.
He's definitely going.
Arise is actually the more dangerous hitter to the Tigers in that situation with a runner at second base and two outs.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It was the right call by A.J. Hinch to walk him, but it's a credit to the Padres lineup that you don't worry. You've got amazing players coming up after him. But he did set up Fernando Tatis Jr. It almost seemed inevitable at that point. If you're a Padres fan, you're at Petco Park. The crowd was great. Another sellout. Into it all game long. Ready for the roof to blow off. Well, there's no roof, but ready for the top to blow in this game. And we've got all the calls for you. So let's start again with Jesse Agler right here on your Padres Radio Network, 97.3 The Fan.
The pitch from Foley, swung on, hit through the left side, and a base hit. Merrill rounding third on his way. Green's throw's got no shot, and Fernando is back. Tatis wins it for the Padres. They mob him on the left side of the infield. A walk-off single in the bottom of the 10th inning, and the Padres beat the Tigers 6-5. They will take their brooms out here tomorrow night.
Is that a prediction or just a fact that you bring your broom?
You bring your broom.
A chance to take them out.
Yeah, bring your broom.
But sound like Jesse already knows what's going to happen tonight. He's seen the future, and they're going to break their brooms
out.
Okay. I like the Fernando is back addition to the call.
I do, too.
That was nice.
I will hopefully be there. I'll be there, but I hopefully just
you
to
will
see
not
a sweet.
Be there.
I'll be there.
You won't be there.
You won't be there to see the
tonight.
Suite.
I just got the text from my wife that says, hey, let's have fun tonight, and let's not worry about being home early. All right, we're going with some other families, and we're in the Odyssey suite, and so we want to milk it a little bit.
If you can send me proof of life, if you send me a selfie from the end of the game, like you and them like shaking hands mm-hmm. behind you on the field, I will give you $10 tomorrow
I'm in
morning
for 10 as well.
All right,
you don't have to give me anything. I'm so confident that won't happen.
We won't make any stipulations about score or anything. Because I'll tell you this. If somebody's up or down early, I'm going home. I'll tell you that right now. There's no question about it. But if it's a tight game, I've stayed for one full game this year.
You did?
Yeah. It was a day game, and we stayed the whole time. We had a blast.
Was there a show the next morning?
Nope. It was a weekend.
It was a weekend day game.
Yeah.
This is a night game, mm-hmm. and you've got a show the next morning.
Yeah.
I will be stunned if you're there. All right, let's move on to another legendary call on Padres.tv. Don and Mud.
On the ground and a left field base hit. Fernando's back, and he's back big. Padres walk it off. Lando gets it done.
He's elite.
That SOB got me so good earlier in the game, though. I think it was the 8th inning, maybe.
Oh, the Profar swing.
Profar's shot down the line. Don got me so good.
I was making lunches in an ambient haze, God. And I was like, no.
Don has.
I hate that angle, by the way. I hate that angle that they show. You know,
it's impossible.
And I'm like, oh, that's definitely gone. No, that's foul. Like,
Don has, you said elite, but what Don has that even most broadcasters don't have, and I'm an astute observer of this, Don has the unique ability to really ramp up the volume without screaming. He's yelling, he's very loud.
Loud.
But he doesn't lose his good pipes and his composure when he goes up. It's such a great listen when he calls a walk-off. There's no shrillness to it.
Merrill Madness!
It's great. It is a gift, and he is blessed with it, and he uses it to full effect on these walk-offs.
On the ground, in a left field base hit! Oh, Fernando's back, and he's back big! Padres walk it off! Lando gets it done!
I texted him a couple weeks ago. I asked him what his regimen was, and he said Macallan 12, which is a scotch.
Really?
No, he goes actually green tea during games. So there you go. It would be
honey, lemon, anything, or just straight green.
Straight
tea.
Straight green tea. I think it is a romantic thing about Don pouring a nice Macallan 12 into a little tumbler and sitting up there just sipping scotch during a game, but no, green tea only for our beloved Don Orsillo.
Before we get to the other three calls, we need a contestant for Real or Fake. This is the time to dial us up if you want to play and chance to win. Trip to Las Vegas, 833-288-0973. About 2 or 3 minutes away, 833-288-0973. All right, let's flip it around. Go to the sad side and the Detroit Tigers broadcast of the walk-off.
The 1-0, swinging the ground ball, base it in the left, that'll do it. Merrill scores. Padres walk off the Tigers. Machado delivered the tying runs in the fifth, and he delivers the win in the tenth. Crushing loss for the Tigers after taking a 5-0 lead early. Our final score in San Diego, San Diego Padres 6 and the Detroit Tigers 5.
What game are you watching?
Manny Machado's walk-off single last night.
He's like, all right.
It was Fernando. Don't worry, nobody's listening.
Yeah, don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Manny wasn't even up.
No, he
was. I was like, correct me if I'm wrong, Machado had no impact in the bottom of the tenth last night.
No, tied the game, in the fifth, and that was great.
Yeah, they see the Padres once a year. That's it, whatever.
That was a
bad call.
That's a devastating loss for the Tigers.
It was. They were back in it. Remember, we talked yesterday how they're 4.5 out. They're back in it. Now they're 5.5 out.
Set such a 5-0. Sweet picture yesterday. Yeah. If you're the Tigers, you're waking up. You're thinking,
you're excited.
Hey,
yeah,
we got our whole season ahead of us.
You go out. You
starts
get,
tonight.
You get to Yu Darvish early. You get to the early part of the Padres bullpen, and then Jackson Merrill arrives, and just incredible.
Rip their heart out.
Yeah, rip their heart out.
Absolutely. All right, then on to the foreign language calls. We will start with Eduardo Ortega, the always somewhat overmodulated.
Turn your radio down. Just a little bit.
Spanish language call.
I'm going to give you 3, 2, 1. Turn them down. Here we go.
Balanzar Foley. Tatis en el hoyo. Puede ser final. Tequila bola. Vuela Melo. El tiro. Tarde hacia home. Safe home. Safe home. Se acabó el juego. El niño. El artista del béisbol. En su segundo juego de reaparición en el line-up de los Padres. En la décima entrada, la novena victoria, walk-off de los Padres.
I don't think anyone's ever gotten more words in that amount of time than Eddie did. That was a lot of talking.
Who is the Dave best. Marcus for the Spanish broadcasts? We need to get them a little more
David
dialed in.
David Marcus.
I don't know.
I'd like to get them a little dialed in because it's hard to play those calls sometimes when he gets so excited.
Like this on the mic. That's not even that bad. I had to turn my way down because it popped.
Tiro, tarde hacia home, safe home, safe home, se acabó el juego.
He needs a better mic.
Do we have some leftover equipment we might be able to donate to them? Is that the problem? I don't know.
He needs a better mic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he is high energy.
Someone's in the radio business. Chris needs a compressor and a limiter.
Yeah.
Stat.
ASAP.
Please.
All right, finally, our friends from Korea, wherever they are, wherever they're calling these games, whoever they are, we don't know their names.
Still don't know. I keep forgetting about them. Jesse.
But here is the Korean call of the walk-off.
Tatis 타고입니다. 페르난도 타티스. 샌디에고 최고의 슈퍼스타가 돌아왔습니다.
Amazing. Somebody said maybe Eddie uses an old Xbox microphone. It's just like, it's just insane. And potato mic. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. God, it's hot. It's the hottest.
It's so hot.
Mic of all time.
And that's not a good thing. Usually being hot is good.
Yeah.
That's not in radio. You don't want to be hot.
Yeah, 100%. No, I loved it, man. I loved it. I loved what Nando had to say after the game.
We have Sammy's interview. We can play that a little bit later.
He talks about how he took it personally. I took it personal. As soon as I saw four fingers up, gave me the push I needed, the energy that I needed.
You know who taught him that?
I just wanted to come through for the boys. And I tweeted,
that's the school of jerks and Profar right there.
Well, playing with a chip on your shoulder is always the right play. I think, absolutely. I don't think you would want to hear is, oh, no, it's okay. I mean, I get it. I get why they had to do that. I mean, you don't want to hear that. You want to hear, yeah, good call, idiot. Like, I took it personally. I would. We all would.
Professor Profar's class was in session, and they were paying attention.
Like, bro, this isn't. You're not walking Jackson Merrill to face Mason McCoy,
sure, man.
Or Luis Campusano. Right? You're walking Luis Rice.
To get to me?
We just talked about the move. It's probably the right choice.
It was also the right move when they walked him to face Jerkson Profar.
Yeah, exactly right, man. Yeah, it's absolutely the right move.
They can still take offense at it, though.
Just incredible.
All right, we ready for a game?
I'm ready.
Let's play it.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Oh, what a great prize. Let's go to, is this Ollie?
Yes.
Ollie, you are a contestant today on Real or Fake. This is our Thursday throwback game, one of our earliest games on Ben and Woods. We do this if you don't have a musical trivia knowledge for our Take on Woods, a chance to qualify for our grand prize drawing of a two-night stay at the Wynn or Encore Las Vegas and two tickets to their new show, Awakening. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. So, Ollie, here's how the game works. I will give you the category. You need to get 4 out of 7 right, separating the real from the fake. Woods can help you out. You can absolutely phone a friend in this game. Ollie, are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Today's real or fake category. The American Professional Football Association was formed in 1920, renamed the National Football League in 1922. In honor of the start of a new NFL season tonight, I have a list of teams that comprised the NFL in 1922.
Ooh.
All you need to do is separate the real from the fake. Ollie, are you ready to play?
Let's roll.
All right. Round number one. The Milwaukee Longshoremen, real or fake?
I'm going to say fake.
I'm going to agree with you.
You're both going to say fake, and you are both right.
Yes.
So we're already better than last week.
Yes.
We went 0 for 7 in this game of real or fake. All right, 1 for 1. You are 3 away from a win. Round number 2. The Columbus Panhandles, real or fake?
Let's go with Woodsy on this one.
Oh, I'm trying to... Ohio, there's not a panhandle, so I'm going to say fake.
Ollie?
Fake.
I would agree with both of you, but they were in the NFL in 1922, the Columbus Panhandle. I don't think Ohio has a panhandle.
Not the panhandlers.
No, just the panhandles.
Sorry about that, Ollie. We'll get it.
That was a tough one. All right, round number 3.
Go Pans.
Yeah, go Pans.
The Evansville Crimson Giants. Real or fake, Ollie?
I'm going to go fake.
Yeah, fake.
Evansville no longer in the NFL, but no. They were in 1922. All right, we've hit a little bit of a bump in the road. Still, you can come back. Round number 4. The Rochester Jeffersons. Real or fake? The Rochester Jeffersons.
No way. Fake.
Fake.
For sure.
Real.
No!
I hate Ben. I hate he's so... Sorry. He wants the listeners to lose.
All right, we're on the brink. Again.
I like you, Ollie. Ben, not so much.
It's just facts. I can't change them.
There's a pattern that he uses, and I can't figure it out.
It's been 6 years.
I try not to have a pattern to make it as fair as possible. All right, Ollie, you need the last 3 now.
Damn it.
Let's try to break out of the streak here with the Racine Bearcats.
That's in Illinois.
Racine Bearcats. Real or fake,
real.
Ollie?
I think it's real.
Let's go with the Woodsy.
Real. It's real.
Paulie?
Real.
Oh, no.
No! Damn it. We got one right in 2 weeks. I'm so sorry,
the game is over for you. Appreciate you calling in and playing. Not today, Satan. Not today.
Oh.
Jesus.
I'm Satan in this case.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're so mean. All right, give me the rest.
All right. Minneapolis Marines.
Fake.
The Dayton Triangles.
Fake.
We're on a very bad run.
This would be like if I went 0 for Take on Woods for 2 weeks. It'd be a nightmare. Like, all right, we got to bang this game.
It's a 50-50 chance. I mean, the odds of getting 1 out of 14 right in a 50-50 chance is really low.
It's unbelievable.
It's sorry,
very evil.
That's amazing.
I am sorry, everybody. Wow. I will try to make this game easier.
Let me do it. You'll be out next Thursday. I'll do it next week.
Paulie and I have a plan.
I got a plan.
We got a plan.
Oh, you do?
For next Thursday.
Oh, look
game.
At you guys. Yes, devious. What now? Dave Roberts going to come in and do it?
No, you'll find out.
Okay.
You won't like it.
You won't like it, but Paulie has a great plan for next Thursday.
Okay.
Game.
All right.
All right. We will come back. Don't Do This is coming up next.
If you work for the Los Angeles Dodgers in a broadcasting capacity, it is a prerequisite that you are insufferable, and I have some audio for you guys that's going to infuriate you.
Woodsy's hot take does not like the Dodgers broadcasters.
Oh, God. All platforms.
Coming up next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, don't do this. I'll always with a couple of stories that make you shake your head. About 2 years ago, we added do this to try to highlight something positive as well in this segment. So I'll start with this story out of the NFL. Oof. Washington Commanders always seem to have something going on. And
the Commanders?
Yeah, the Commanders.
Commanders don't do this.
Really one of the Hall of Fame organizations when it comes to don't do this.
Hall of Shame.
They have suspended their vice president of content after remarks surfaced on a hidden recording undercover video.
Yes. At a dinner.
So he criticized a lot of people, including the team's own players, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. And during this interview, made comments. And basically, he disagrees with a lot of their... what he believes to be their social stances. He says to the players are anti-gay. He says Jerry Jones is racist and anti-gay. And he called Roger Goodell a $50 million puppet during all of these interviews. He's allowed to have opinions
sure.
like that. If that's what he truly thinks, there's nothing necessarily... don't do this about thinking that.
Well,
but he is also an employee of the organization. And for those comments to surface publicly of him criticizing his own team's players, another owner in the NFL, and the commissioner of the NFL, obviously the NFL is not going to be too happy about any of this.
Listen, you forgot the biggest one. He goes after the fans of the Washington Commanders. And he said, quote, most of the fans are high school educated alcoholics and called them mouth breathers. And he is the VP of content. You can't keep him. A guy that, like, imagine catching someone on hot mic or hidden camera talking about the Padre, you know.
Is it possible
fans.
What he said about the players and Jerry Jones is true?
Sure.
And Roger Goodell is
absolutely.
True. Is he a $50 million puppet? Kind of, he is.
Yeah, I mean, he can have those. He can have those opinions, but...
He didn't know that this was something that was being recorded
well,
or
right.
was going to get out.
He met this reporter on Hinge and then met with her twice at local restaurants, it says. And yeah, so they suspended him, doing an investigation. But yeah, man, he, you know, it was probably him showing off on a date, but I think honestly, like if you're the Commanders, you've had so much scandal in your.
This was like a sting. Almost.
Yeah, it was like a sting. Yeah, it's exactly right. So mind your P's and Q's, people. The Dodgers rarely. Dodgers, their broadcasters rarely mind their P's and Q's. So big night the other night, a couple nights ago for Ben Joyce threw a pitch that was 105.5 miles an hour, the fastest recorded pitch in the StatCast era, I do believe. And listen to how the Dodgers broadcasters, really took that moment in and made it really special for Ben Joyce.
Well, they're making an announcement in the press box about the 105.5 mile an hour pitch that Ben Joyce threw. I don't know. I might have a bridge in Brooklyn for you. They're saying it's the fastest pitch in the StatCast era. Fastest one for a strikeout. Fastest pitch in Major League Baseball this year. Mickey Moniak. And no disrespect to Ben Joyce. He's a hard thrower.
But here's disrespect.
But no human being can throw it that fast. I'm sorry, but
and he's just claiming he did.
1-0 pitch. Swing and a miss by Moniak.
Now we know and you and I had conversations with a former general manager. And he said, yes.
Ooh. And one hit in the air to left field. Right in his tracks is Teoscar Hernandez. Makes the catch, two out.
And we were not asking about Ben Joyce or any other player with the Angels, or with the Dodgers for that matter. But the conversation came to is that, hey, are there times if you have a pitcher that you know pitches and tries to chase velocity, did you ever kind of toy with the electronics? And the answer was yes.
So they go on and on, and they talked exclusively in that game as well about that game against the Angels against the Dodgers being the, quote, Angels World Series. And look how Ron Washington is managing this game like it's their World Series. They are such an unlikable group. You know, cancel the parades. That's why you play the game. You act like you win something important every year, and you don't. You don't. They act as if they are the Patriots of, you know, are on the run. They act as if they were the Yankees of the 50s and 60s. They're not.
Understand why they don't believe the radar guy.
Because it didn't happen to Michael Kopech or Shohei Ohtani. That's why they didn't believe it. That's why.
Evidence that these radar gun readings are off at all. The technology has actually gotten pretty good, from what I understand.
So I guess last night's game, Mark Gubiza, the Angels broadcaster, guy threw a hard pitch and he goes, "Yep, Major League Baseball approved radar guns." Like he was giving it back to him. They act like trust fund kids is what they do. They're like trust fund babies.
I did see our friend, Tim Flannery, complaining about the... He said, radar guns back in the day, they tracked when it crossed the plate, when it left
the hand.
The hand. And it slows down a little bit from the hand to the plate. So you're not getting... He said, Nolan Ryan must have thrown at least 108.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise you.
Which is possible. They did not have the great tracking technology back then, for sure. I don't know if he threw, but wouldn't it make sense that pitchers have been continuing to throw faster and faster.
Yes.
Better training techniques,
yes.
More knowledge, more scientific analysis of spin rates and how they affect velocity. This is not some stunner. This is the logical conclusion of what everybody's doing, that someone's going to keep throwing harder and harder, including 105.5.
And somebody made the point in the chat, flip it. And if that's Ben Joyce doing that against the Padres, imagine the level of respect Mud and Don would give him. Like, holy smokes, we just saw history here. That's pretty cool.
I found out something I did not realize when I was listening to Gwen and Chris yesterday. So that was the fastest ever strikeout pitch, 105.5, but it's not the fastest ever pitch. The fastest ever pitch was an Aroldis Chapman 105.8 mile an hour fastball. Do you know who he threw it to? Tony Gwynn Jr.
Wasn't a strike. I think I'd heard that before, yeah. I forgot, but yes, that sounds right.
No one in history has ever stood in the plate at the box and gotten a faster pitch from a human being than our own Tony Gwynn Jr.
Wow.
Jeez.
How did he do? It was a ball?
It was a ball. Take. Took it.
Good take. Power take.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
What is that even? I mean, you don't see it.
No.
You hear it.
You heard it. Sounded fast.
Do this?
Do This.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
Nice moment last night before the game. If you happen to be at Petco Park, we're in your seats for the ceremonial first pitch. The Padres honored one of their own, Mark Merrilla, who is now a scout, but used to be the bullpen catcher for the San Diego Padres, returned and threw out the first pitch, and there was a little bit of a... what do they call it?
Surprise.
A surprise, yeah. An Easter egg, unexpected. The person who caught his pitch, and they didn't even say who it was, it's John Moores, who was the owner when Mark Merrilla first entered the organization. He was actually a great college player at the University of Minnesota, but has battled brain cancer a couple of times in his career. Nearly fatal. I mean, he had surgery. He had to recover twice. Long time recovery. Padres, though, have kept him in the organization, made him a scout. He's an instrumental part of A.J. Preller's staff, has been since 2012, and they honored Mark Merrilla last night with a little surprise cameo from John Moores on the first pitch. I thought it was very cool. It's our doo-doo this moment. That's Don't and Doo-Doo This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we still have not gotten to the kind of innings that led up to the walk-off last night.
Had us a little, everybody on their edge of their seat a little bit.
Yeah, and I was even questioning Mike Schilt. I know that that's a dangerous thing to do, but we can talk about what happened in the game last night. Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. A alternate universe, that could have been a very frustrating loss for the Padres last night as well.
Yep.
And it was a little dicey in those last few innings. Woo. Talk about some of the decisions, the rallies that ended up not scoring any runs for the Padres in that game. As we wrap up what was really a fantastic 6-5 win last night over the Detroit Tigers, we'll do that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So, Padres rally and tie the game. Manny Machado's two-run single in the fifth inning.
Great AB, man.
It was.
God.
And then they were unable to push across another run, even after Xander walked and moved Manny to second. Jackson Merrill grounded out. So, it's 5-5 going to the sixth. Adrian Morejon gets through the sixth inning, works around a walk, so no real threat there by the Tigers. And then in the bottom of the sixth, Padres rally again. David Peralta, aggressive pinch hitting for Luis Campusano, who has kind of been struggling lately.
What?
Luis Campusano?
Kind of been struggling.
Yeah.
You're a nice
guy. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
He had a two-hit game last week, I think.
Okay.
So Peralta draws the walk. Mason McCoy then sacrifices him over to second base.
Thought of you, Steven Coronado. I thought of you immediately.
Runner in scoring position. Padres are in good shape at the top of their lineup coming up, especially Luis Arraez. And Luis Arraez does his job. Runner at second, singles to the left side. Does the runner score? No, he does not.
Did the runner advance?
Does the runner advance from second to third? No, he does not. David Peralta, who held because it was a line drive, and he had to, then stumbled and
Sniper got him.
Had to go back to second base. So you had the very rare situation on a single to the outfield that the runner on base didn't advance. Well, you know, it might not mean anything. No, it did, because the very next hitter, Fernando Tatis Jr., roped a 110-mile-an-hour line out that would have scored any runner from third base, but not from second, and thus he was stranded out at second base. Well, third, actually. He advanced from second to third, but could not score after a pro-far walk and another Manny Machado absolute lineout. Very frustrating inning. Usually you get a runner out second with one out, and you go single, deep fly. You're going to score 100% of the time. I guess 99.99% of the time when you have a runner at second and you go single, deep fly ball.
Yep.
Either they score on the single the first time or they advance to on the single and they score on the fly ball. Neither happened, and the Padres were left without a run in that inning. So that was frustrating.
It was a frustrating move. Now, the part to me, and I know you have another thing that you wanted to talk about, but I thought right there in that spot might have been a decent spot to see Tyler Wade pinch run. because if you're going to sacrifice David Peralta over, right, in a tie game, that means this run's important to us. I'm going to give up an out here to get David Peralta to second base, which is in scoring position. So I'm going to give up an out with Mason McCoy. No problem. Had no problem with that. I thought if you're going to be aggressive there with the aggressive pinch hit, the bunt, why not be aggressive with Tyler Wade and put him on second base to try to score that run? Again, it was the right decision for Peralta to hold there because it was a line drive. You have to freeze on a line drive. You learn that in Little League. Freeze on a line drive. But the second you see it through, you got to at least get to third. I didn't think he was going to score on that anyway. Tyler Wade, I don't know. Maybe. You never know. But it didn't happen. So I went, okay, well, that's why you're there. But then
If you do that, I
reasoned with myself and said it's the sixth inning.
You are spending three players on that equation
because to get one run.
You've pinch hit Peralta for Campusano. Then you would pinch run him, and then you'd have to replace him because you need a catcher in there. So
with Higgy or Diaz.
That's an expensive inning, and still the sixth inning to burn three players right there. I can see why Mike Schilt was hesitant to do that in that spot.
Yeah. I thought, again, you're being aggressive. Fine. So scratch that. And then, you know, Peralta could still come up later in the game, but... You know, actually, he couldn't because you had to
replace him
defensively.
Because he was
so you
pinch hitting for the catcher.
You burned him.
All right, so then you go to the seventh inning, and Tanner Scott gets through that inning, works around a single, but the Tigers don't really threaten again. And you go to the bottom of the seventh, and once again, the Padres threaten with one out. Xander Bogaerts walks, and then Jackson Merrill hits the ground rule double that probably would have scored Xander Bogaerts had it not bounced over the fence.
100%.
Always one of the most frustrating things whenever it happens to your team. You're saying, so just because the warning track is bouncier, he doesn't get to score? Oh. It never totally makes a lot of sense.
Is there a way to fix it? There's really not.
I don't know. But so then you've got runners at second and third with one out. And Mike Schilt, again, goes to his bench. And this one surprised me because he had just, of course, put in Kyle Higashioka as a defensive replacement after the pinch hitting from the last inning, and he doesn't even let Higgy bat there, and he brings in Donovan Solano to pinch hit for Kyle Higashioka. Now, he can do that because he's got a third catcher on the roster, expanded rosters. Elias Diaz is there. He's yet to make his Padres debut, but, well, apparently it's happening now because he's your last catcher, and you have aggressively pinch hit Donovan Solano. Now, I love Solano up in that situation. Guy gets the bat on the ball, got runners at second and third, hits it hard, infield's drawn in. There's a lot of reasons to bring up Donovan Solano, but there's also an open base at first, and Mason McCoy is on deck, a guy who they have handled all right, you know, so far in this game, and is probably the least scary guy in the Padres lineup right now. He is the least scary guy in the Padres lineup at this moment. So what happens? Well, Donovan Solano works a walk. A good at-bat, but he ends up working the walk. So,
now, see, he had pitches to hit.
There. He did.
So they weren't pitching around him. I mean, actually, he had middle pitches to
I'm
hit
I'm surprised
there,
that they did give him opportunities.
I am, too. But I was surprised. Higgy's come through a bunch this year. And I thought, if you're going to use a pinch hitter, maybe for McCoy. But I started thinking about it, and I thought, all right, what does this do to the team defensively? Right. If you make this move, bringing the infield in, Solano's a 300 hitter. Yeah. 300 hitter. He's now.
And has been a fantastic pinch hitter.
Phenomenal,
even better than that.
Like the best.
Yeah.
He's now a 400 hitter with the infield drawn in. Yeah, I can see the allure of like, let's just get it now. Yes, Higgy can hit a lazy fly ball to score a run, but I want to get both of these runs in with Donovan Solano. Well, him drawing a walk, you're like, oh, crap, that means Mason McCoy has to hit now.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work out because after the walk, Mason McCoy grounded into the fielder's choice to home plate, and Luis Arraez grounded out to shortstop. And once again, for the second straight inning, you left your bases loaded.
It's a bummer.
Mike Schilt did discuss the decision to go with Donovan Solano in that pinch-hitting role, and he said it wasn't an easy one.
Is this kind of an example of the way you can use the three catchers on the roster to kind of get at-bats for guys in optimal situations? And what went into the Solano at-bat?
Yeah, that was a tough one. You know, I was sitting there talking to Victor, and of course Jackson, it's a, you know, ground rule double. And, you know, now we got a decision to make with one out. Got the open base, not sure what they're going to do. Max been having good at-bats. trust Higgy too. It's not a matter of that, but we got, you know, a real bullet over there in Solano.
Yeah.
You know, with one out, it's hard to, and again, we might have fired it with you know, two if it had remained the same situation for Mac. But just took advantage of what we saw in front of us. Took a tough at bat, worked a walk. So really, that was a tough one because we could have let Higgy hit and then, you know, like I said, hit for Mac. So wasn't a clear cut decision. But to your point about the catcher flexibility, and I applaud them all because, you know, we're sitting there in the sixth and we got Campy leading off. We got Peralta sitting there. We're really not going to do a whole lot with our first seven. Unless there's extreme situation, which we will do if we've got the personnel still. But if you're looking at our roster, you look at David Peralta, who's been huge for us, and he's sitting there to lead off the sixth inning, and you know you got a good bullpen and trying to figure out a way to get that one more run that me and Victor talk about, and then they get, and Peralta works a walk and, you know, was able to have a good at bat. We can go to Higgy. And, you know, again, we're sitting there with Solano trying to figure out the right spot to use him. But, you know, you got Diaz that you can trust over there. Again, could have gone either way. But, like, Solano's a bat there with one out.
All right. So while I disagreed strategically with Mike Schilt's decision there, I think the answer there was very telling about some of the Padres' philosophies. He revealed, I'm going to basically the eighth and ninth spot in my lineups right now, which is usually the catcher and the shortstop. I am going to use my bullets, my David Peralta and my Donovan Solano, valuable pinch hitting guys. I'm going to probably use them in those spots.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let in a close game. Why not use those guys? And he used Peralta in the sixth. He used Solano in the seventh. It is also very character reinforcing who Mike Schilt is. He aggressively goes after wins when he sees them in front of them. When he has the opportunity to reach out and try to take one,
he will
do it, whether it's with bullpen usage or with pinch hitters. And he saw Donovan Solano sitting on his bench. He saw runners at second and third. And to him, that is the way to go. Now, I'm a more conservative guy, I think, when it comes to the baseball strategy. And I was like, would have liked to save that Donovan Solano for the ninth or at bat for Mason McCoy, or what if Higgy comes through and then you still have Solano on the bench? You've got all kinds of options. Good things can happen. And I know you trust Higgy. He's come through before you many times. I would have given him that opportunity to just go up and deliver a hit. Hits a lot of fly balls.
Frankly, I was actually surprised that he didn't give Higgy that opportunity. I really was. As much as Higgy's done for this team and how clutch he has been this season. But I also understand that. I understand in that situation right there, I got a chance. If they throw Donovan Solano, who's a good hitter, if they throw him a pitch to hit, this guy can rip an RBI single, a two RBI single with the best of them. So I kind of understand that. I like what he said. And also, wasn't it nice to hear Mike Schilt be like, yeah, I mean, tough call. Like, I got to make that call in real time. And that was a difficult one for me. And it's going to happen. It probably happens way more than we realize what a difficult call it is. But again, they came back. They won that game. But yeah, man, you leave six guys on in the late innings. It's a little, you get a little bit nervous.
That would have been, as I said, a really painful game to lose, though. Even though you had been down 5-0,
yeah.
To have to come back, use all of your bullpen bullets. Yeah, every single one of your high leverage relievers to have so many chances with the bases loaded, The Tigers really didn't have.
Yeah, you're sick.
Any
you're
chances?
Sick if
Their
you
best
lose that
chance
game.
Came in the 10th when they put a runner at second base automatically. They never really had those chances. And if you had lost that game and then go, and now we've used all our bullpen guys and now we're going into the final game of the series a little bit weakened and we've lost, that would have been rough, but you win the game. You made the Tigers use some of their bullpen guys. That Will Vest was nasty.
He's nasty, dude.
Hopefully he's down for today after throwing two innings yesterday.
He's got to be.
I don't want to see him.
Who the hell is Will Vest?
I don't know. I don't know how his ERA was over 3 either, because I look at that guy and I go, ooh, that guy is tough.
Filthy.
Hopefully we don't see him again. That was impressive in the 8th and the 9th. But obviously they had to bring in a different pitcher in the 10th, Foley, and the Padres were able to get the job done and get that walk-off win. Kept a couple of their magic streaks going. People were mad that I even mentioned it during the game.
Yeah, you need to smarten up.
It's going to end at some point. It doesn't mean I can never mention it.
Just smarten up about it.
Should I not say it now? Can I say it now?
Yes.
Padres are undefeated when Manny Machado gets at least two runs batted in.
Yep.
They're also undefeated when Tanner Scott enters a ball game at all to pitch.
It's a good point here.
And both of those were on the line last night in a tie game.
Yeah, and they came through again. I need money. Since the best part was Higgy was in the dugout going over the pitchers with Diaz instead of crying about not getting an AB. This is a very unselfish baseball team. That's one thing that we absolutely know.
I was watching that scenario, and Higgy's like crouched right in front of Elias Diaz, kind of showing him, all right, you hold your mitt up and you show a target.
When they throw it, you want to catch it.
I was thinking, he's not an emergency catcher. He's an all-star, actually. He was an all-star last year. He knows how to catch.
He's just showing him where Bobby likes the mitt, Benny. Come on.
He knows how to catch.
He's showing him where Bobby wants it.
He's done it before.
Okay.
This isn't Tyler Wade strapping on the gear going into catch at the end of the game.
Now, that would be fun. He is our backup catcher.
He is.
Now, it's
Jake
great
wishes he was, but it's Tyler Wade, it's Tyler. Actually. All right, we'll come back. We got lots to get to, including Eno Saris going to join us in our 8 o'clock hour coming up here on 97.3 The Fan.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.